The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Austin Adams, Vice President of Public Sector at Alfresco, on a nice warm June day here, isn't it?
Hardly.
I see people outside run around in shorts and gym shirts and run around, and I can't believe what's going on here. A year ago, we had the big storm, didn't
we? That's right. Yeah, almost exactly this time last year.
Well, we're not going to talk about the weather today. We're talking about innovation and change and disruption and open source, and maybe talk about how Alfresco can help my listeners. Have all kinds of topics today. And a way to start off with is maybe, Austin, tell us about your background and how you wound up working for this company and why you picked Alfresco.
Sure. Yeah, I've been at Alfresco just short of 2 years now, running our public sector business. I came here from Microsoft before that. And the choice to come to Alfresco is one that came straight from customer feedback. Very frustrated with the concept of vendor lock-in and trying to make changes at large scale and asking for an extreme amount of money to pull that off became very frustrating. We're trying to do big things and trying to have a company back me in that with a open source disruptive vibe throughout the entire company from the top to the bottom is what brought me here.
Now, open source means a lot of things for many different people. I'm sure there are listeners that say open source and they go, oh, innovation and creative and new. Other people hear open source and they go, whoa, 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 hackers and trouble and problems. So let's define open source and what's free, what isn't free, and license, because, you know, what kinds of interpretations is that? That's a hot word.
It is. It is a hot word. And it's got a lot of really positive connotations to it now in the federal government, because more and more, and I do think this is the year where you will really see open source become something that is openly described as required in a number of solutions that will get put out for bid. And the reason why we're seeing that happen is people are coming to an understanding that open source software and open source concepts provides one of the few ways to create constant and continual disruption. And by that, I mean Alfresco pulls from tens of thousands of developers from across the globe to bring great ideas and great concepts and new development in our product set. None of that hits our Department of Defense customers, our federal customers, without our proper vetting and our coding and our patching, et cetera. But it does enable us to pull from our user community and the smart developers and smart system administrators from around the globe to bring that disruption in a way that a proprietary software company can't do. Proprietary software companies, and I'm familiar with them, when you want a change request, you're bringing that to a small handful of really smart people who have a long list of things they need to get done to their product. Alfresco is leveraging a wide user community, and that concept of open source is one that is underwriting just about every major disruption in this space. There isn't a vendor that you're familiar with, AWS, Google, Facebook, and the list goes on and on, who at the core of what makes them disruptive is not the use of open source in order to pull that off.
If you want more information, I'll spell this out because some people may get confused. Alfresco, alfresco.com. Been in business since 2005. Grown and grown.
Hmm. Yeah, it's an exciting time at Alfresco. We're not a startup. We have become trusted elements of some of the most important content in the federal government. I brag about, it's one of my favorite jobs is to brag about the places that we hold content. And it's the patents in the United States are held in Alfresco. The NASA JPL, the Joint Propulsion Laboratory, sending satellites around moons around Jupiter, they hold their content and information inside Alfresco. The Navy and the Marine Corps run their business and their tasking inside Alfresco in classified and unclassified networks. And then the intelligence community counts on Alfresco in some really important ways as well. It's a very exciting time at Alfresco, and we're watching really nice growth.
know, I'm not in the prediction business, but I know people who are. In fact, the president of your company is a guy named John Newton. And if you go to your website, he has this long video talking about exactly what's going to happen month to month in 2017. And I said, he's either the smartest guy on the planet or he's just really, really brave. It's one of those two. But, you know, if you want to think what's going to – I mean, we're going to talk about some of these topics he brings up. This guy does not think in a silo.
No.
I mean, he's the opposite of the silo. He thinks like from mountaintops and Martian land. And he looks at this big, huge picture of what's going on here. And he doesn't talk about open source and how to help federal. He talks about the whole big picture of where is this technology going?
That's right.
Okay, there's going to be billions of IoT devices out there by 2020. Now what? I mean, the questions he asks are, I think the questions that many of my listeners, now right this time of year with the transition taking place, the questions may be more specific, but I think in general, I think Alfresco talks about the big picture, what's going on there. In general, what's safer? Is it proprietary software or is it going to be open source? Why is it safer? And we can elucidate upon that. There's a fancy word. That's going to impress someone. So if you go to Wikipedia and you go to your company page, they talk about content management and then web content management and then enterprise content. Is that too much content management? I mean, you do more than that, don't you?
You know, and I'm going to add one layer on top of that, which is we're really moving away from the term content management as an industry, and here is at Alfresco. We're moving into the next generation, which is really about content services and this concept of utilizing a microservice architecture to deliver up content services to applications across an enterprise. So this concept that most of the federal government has worked on with vendors like Alfresco has been the come into my enterprise and hold this content. And that's the sole purpose of bringing them in. We're changing the paradigm to say that they really should be looking at Alfresco to bring accessibility, security, and the ability to build solutions that make that information usable to make decisions and create information across the enterprise, regardless of the user interface or the system it has to interact with. Easily interchangeable, integratable pieces that make content available where it's needed for the user to make decisions.
As you were speaking, I wrote down microservices and the equal sign apps. Is that algebra? Does that work or does that not work?
It's close. It's very close.
Another C in algebra. Yeah, darn. Yeah. Never get A's in algebra.
A microservice architecture is a trend that I'm watching some of the more innovative federal agencies start to grab onto. A microservice architecture is the concept that I'm going to brag about housing and urban development very quickly. HUD looked at their entire app portfolio, their entire enterprise legacy IT, and they looked at some 65%+ of everything they were doing were on about four basic capabilities. Just about most of their apps did a few things. One, they had to share content, collaborate on content, pass content around. They had a business process that they had to enable, whether it was case management or a loan program or contracts or legal. The list goes on and on. Their handoffs, both internal inside the agency, as well as external handoffs where people are signing things and sending them back, is the second component. A third, all of that becomes records. All of that becomes things that have to be kept for the National Archives and Records Administration and for their own legal purposes. And then finally, an analytics component. So they looked at that and said, if we went about trying to solve for every one of these many hundreds of apps that we have, one at a time, we're never going to get there. There is a requirements gap between our ability to execute with our limited budget and the way that we're going about solving this is one at a time. So they said, we got to do this a different way. We've got to get in control of this. If we set up a platform and we do platform thinking and set up a microservices architecture and enable dozens of organizations within the enterprise to pull on Alfresco content services or Alfresco business process services to build their own apps and to use their own expertise in their own area to build applications, we can solve for 20 and 30 applications at the cost of solving for one, which is a really dynamic and exciting way to make real, true disruption, which we're not seeing a whole lot of in the rest of the federal government. I'm really excited about being able to brag on HUD's important work there.
I'm sure there's some generals over in the Pentagon that don't like the word disruption. I don't think that's the word. But the hashtag digital transformation,
that's right.
I think a general might respond to that a little bit stronger because disruption can mean bad things. I don't know. It's an emotional word.
It is an emotional word. And, you know, I come from this from a perspective that I think is commonly shared but not commonly articulated. And I think it's this. I've watched and talked to a lot of people in the federal government about the fact that 80 to 90% of their money every year is trapped up in maintaining the very fragile, disintegrated, siloed application network and infrastructure that they have today. And it's very frustrating for them. The concept of trying to actually pull something off and do something is very difficult anymore. Again, they're solving one problem at a time, and they're losing ground. A huge portion of the money that they end up having left appears to be getting spent on cybersecurity. It's a self-serving problem in the regards to this legacy IT application getting older and older and creating more and more vulnerabilities. And so the ability for Alfresco to come in and solve for 12 or 15 apps isn't just transformative. It truly is a different way of thinking about how to field solutions inside your enterprise. And so digital transformation, enabling digital flow, and disruption are all very, very synonymous words for us here at Alfresco and things that we hope to enable.
Well, speaking of transformation, we have to make a transformation here and get some messages from our sponsors. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Austin Adams, Vice President of Public Sector at Alfresco. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Austin Adams, Vice President of Public Sector at Alfresco. We're talking about open source and the federal government and disruption and not content management anymore. We're talking about something a little beyond content management. Now, if you do your research on Alfresco, you may stumble on a press release. This press release came out, I think, in December, November. I'm not sure. Here's the headlines, you know. Alfresco selected to join newly launched Amazon Web Service Public Sector Partner Program. A lot of words. Amazon, most people know Amazon Web Services. So what's the partnership and what does it mean to my listeners?
Sure. We've found that the AWS customers have really enjoyed and had a lot of similarities with Alfresco customers. And Alfresco customers were finding a lot of similarities and a lot of similar trends going on at AWS. And so it was a very natural partnership because we're both in the very similar, we have very similar themes in what we do inside agencies. We're extremely transformative, look to help agencies change the way they go about IT. And those commonalities pulled us together as a natural relationship. The great thing is that we're going to market together more and more. And we get asked the question a lot about, you know, what do we enable on AWS? Because a lot of folks understand very clearly that a cloud provides them a lot of flexibility and agility.
It's like a storage shelter. Yeah. I got a storage room. Okay. Public storage.
Yes.
Now what?
And that we answered this question at AWS at a conference we held just there yesterday. And it was the question of, hey, AWS offers databases and storage. And so why Alfresco on top of AWS?
Right.
What's the advantage? And it goes to something we were just talking about. If all we're doing is moving file shares and content stores into AWS, there's not a ton of value in that.
Right.
The value of bringing Alfresco onto AWS is the concept that we're actually in the business of solving problems within that agency. Having content available and accessible and passed around an agency in a structured business process helps solve problems more quickly, helps get information in the right hands at the right time, and makes the entire thing much more secure. So you got flexibility, agility, security, cost savings, and disruption of the way things are done, and advancing agencies, giving them more money in their pocket to solve more and more problems and to help interact with their citizens. And it is means that Alfresco and AWS are speaking the same language. We're birds of a feather, and our customer bases seem to be overlapping quite a bit. And GSA and NASA and the FCC and others are on that list of customers that are bringing together both Alfresco and AWS together.
I'm taking notes here, buddy. I'm taking notes, and I wrote down business process management.
Yes.
Well, there's a hot button for some people, BPM.
Yes.
And so what you enable really is not only collaboration, but some way to organize the workload within that framework. Is that right? So you may call that all kinds of words for this process, an algorithm, a set of rules, but a business process management. So going beyond content management, it's work management. It's workflow management almost.
Yeah, so much of what I watch inside government agencies is done manually. I mean, to be frank, it's staggering the amount that is either patched together via email or Excel spreadsheets or PowerPoint or just manually handed around. And there's this extremely exciting opportunity and a huge market to take normal business processes of things passing people to other people, getting things approved, exchanging and interacting with the outside community to turn in documents and just, it's government. It is bureaucracy. It is paperwork getting handed back and forth. They need intelligent forms. They need business processes that are adaptable and interesting and modern. And they need it to be inexpensive and flexible and be able to be built and modified quickly. And that's the market we're in. You can call us up and name one of about 75 different problems they might have that Alfresco can apply BPM and content and process services to and get able to turn that into a really neat solution quickly.
Well, Austin, we got to play Stump the Nerd here. Every now and then I have to do it just to justify some of your technical knowledge. If you read this press release, and I read every word of it,
okay. It
throws around some terms that some people may be aware of, some people may not. I just want to maybe for the benefit of the audience, there's something called R lowercase e, capital S-T, API. So
yes. What
is a REST API?
Yes.
Talk about it in the press release.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. So a REST API in regards to the way that our customers are finding them disruptive is the concept of being able to create integration and content capabilities between applications and sharing content through automated business processes in a way that keeps them secure and managed. It helps you interlock applications to each other quickly and easily and securely. This goes back to the conversation we had about a microservice architecture that utilizes REST APIs. Have the ability to use common open standards to have applications and technologies communicate with each other easily in an open architecture. When we talk about a proprietary vendor, all of these terms are going to be very outside of the norm for them, because they are building locked in proprietary stacks in which if you want to interact with their content, you want to interact with their business processes, you want that application to integrate with an application somewhere else in the enterprise, you're going to have to build custom code. You're going to have to build the interlock between your systems. To do that over and over and over again is what the federal government's been up against, and it's a losing battle. Using open APIs and using open standards to have technologies communicate with each other puts the government back in control of IT. And Alfresco is at the heart of sort of enabling folks to be in control of how their applications interact with each other. And just the idea that you can pass information and business process through 5-6 different applications and not have to reinvent the wheel at your agency, but put the IT you've invested in to work for you.
It should be no surprise to you that my wife calls me a slacker. There's no doubt about that. But I have used Slack,
yes,
and I've used Trello, and I've used Basecamp.
Oh, good.
And it seems to me that these are tools that software developers have come up with to avoid email.
Yes.
and one could stretch and say, no, Basecamp is a business process manager because you
sure.
can assign tasks.
That's right.
So do you compete with Slack? Do you integrate
no.
with Slack? Or two different worlds?
Two different worlds, but integrated worlds. So we can enable. So if you're familiar with Slack, some of your the folks in your audience may not be. This concept of not having to communicate via email, and this concept that your conversations in email are somehow different and disconnected and siloed from where you actually do your work, right? Like if you're in an application filling out a human resources form and you want to communicate with human resources, you're likely changing applications, open up your inbox, finding who to send the email to and forwarding it. That concept of real-time communication, asynchronous communication being in separate applications is a huge portion for the reason why we're losing and missing productivity. Imagine you're in a human resources application that's powered by Alfresco. You are filling out a human resources form in line on your phone, and you're interested in chatting directly with someone in the human resources organization. They may or may not be there. You leave that information in an inline message inside of that application. They can respond back to you at their time. When you go back to it 2 months later, you're like, I remember I asked them a question. I wonder what they answered. It's in line right there in the app. You don't have to go to your email and search back through your history. So this concept of real-time communication, instant messaging, Slack and others being web really integrated and a part of the way that a solution is built, I think is critical to building a modern application that actually solves the problem. It's the idea that communication is somehow different than the app is a big part of the problem.
I was at Alfresco, alfresco.com this morning, read a bunch of blogs, read a blog by a guy named Thomas DeMeo, D-E-M-E-O,
yes.
And he said, hey, listen here, digital transformation is not a goal, it's a journey.
That's right.
And so we're not talking about, rechanging everything. It's baby steps and slowly transforming. And then it's kind of like those diets where you lose 2 pounds a week, and after a year you lose 50 pounds or something. So this isn't a drastic. This is find out what the requirements are, get a thorough understanding of what's going on, and slowly nurse yourself away from email and maybe make a transition to Slack or something. So it's not digital transformation, but it's not tomorrow.
That's right. And the best use cases of our technology have started from a really smart developer, a really smart team applying Alfresco in a unique way to solve one problem, and then having that move virally within the enterprise. Then the organization across the hall goes, how did you build that really neat app? You did that in 2 weeks? How did that happen? I mean, that we would have had to put that out for RFP. We'd have had to build out our infrastructure for it. We'd had to get all the vendors to come in and all the system integrators to come in. And then a year and a half from now, we would have gotten to where you got with Alfresco as a platform inside your enterprise in just a couple weeks to that prototype. How'd you do that? That iteration and starting that digital journey is where we like to go.
Yeah, you might want to call it a digital flow or a flow of information. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about digital transformation here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Austin Adams, Vice President of Public Sector at Alfresco. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Austin Adams, Vice President of Public Sector at Alfresco, F as in Frank, Fresco, alfresco.com. Got a ton of stuff there. Pretty well-designed website. You can read blogs. There's a video on there, the preds of the company. It's just up close and personal. And he talks about what's going to happen in 2017. And so if you're in the business of predictions, you might want to go there. But what's fascinating about this guy, John Newton, he covers every topic in the world. I don't know how many topics he covers. He covers like 12 different topics. But one of the topics said something very interesting. He said, you know, the average developer now is 27 years old. You know, the average developer isn't 67 or 57, but 27. So let me toss to you here, Austin. So what does that mean to you? And most, what does that mean to our audience as far as open source and change and trying new concepts in business process management?
Yeah, I think it ties very heavily to our earlier discussion around open source. The concept of a 27-year-old being delivered a fully packaged solution that they're going to go solve problems with is really antithetical to what they'll be about. A 27-year-old developer goes to GitHub and pulls down one of 100 different applications that are available to them to build a stack of interconnected capabilities and put it together in an interesting way to solve a problem that's unique to the customer they're trying to solve it for. We are at one of the more exciting times in the history of IT. It is that a 27-year-old can build something that no one's ever thought of before by simply putting together other people's great ideas, including Alfresco's business process management suites and content suites, and use that in relation to AngularJS or to Solr or to Linux and Docker and all of these capabilities and Hadoop and others that are out there, and blend that together to solve hundreds of different kinds of problems. And it's really an interesting time, and I'm excited to be, you know, at a company that's just one part of the overall transformation.
I was thinking of the new Batman movie out of Legos, the Lego Batman movie. And I was thinking, you know, 27-year-old, it pulls different Legos for this, puts it together, gets something else. This is something else.
That's right.
Alfresco. And what they can do is they can download it, play around with it. They don't have to call you. Don't have to go to your site and play around with it and go, well, this is an interesting tool. Maybe I'll use this for something in the future, and then learn about containers, and then all of a sudden learn about something like Angular 2, and then have all these 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 different tools, and then present with a new problem. They go, oh, I know, it's a 9/16 wrench and a ball peen hammer will solve
this
problem.
That's
so
right. It's
very modular and flexible rather than being rigid. Now, rigid is great. I think rigid is great for maybe buildings and steel, but in software where everything could change in 6 months anyway, you have to have that flex to maybe in 6 months they'll pull Alfresco off because that'll solve the problem.
Yeah, I'm going to jump off from the concept of flexibility and agility, which I think we've hammered, to the idea that you could build a small Lego capability in front of you. And if you build it with the right technologies, you can scale that small Lego building into a skyscraper. The idea that Alfresco can scale in place, that you can run Alfresco on a laptop, your laptop right in front of you, or it can run inside an Amazon AZ that covers, you know, terabytes and terabytes and terabytes of information, that you can upload, you know, tens of thousands of documents, you know, in minutes, and build applications that do internet quality number of hits, millions of hits a second. The idea that you have a really powerful, flexible, and lightweight, and meaning doesn't have a heavy footprint, and that it scales in place is very powerful. I mean, these ideas that somebody just has a little toy kit in front of them is not true. They pull down internet heavy capable technologies like Alfresco to build really neat stuff. It's a there needs to be, and there is, a lot of investments that you're watching the federal government to invest in innovation. We're watching a lot of that come to bear. I'm really excited about stuff that you've seen from the 18F folks, but every agency needs to embed in their own 18F concept, this idea that there needs to be agile development built into the concept. But the platforms there that enable that to even happen, largely they don't even have the pieces or parts to begin the process of doing truly transformational IT work.
Did you ever meet Dan Tangherlini?
Yes, Dan and I are our partners.
He's an 18F. You know, this is something he came up with, and he's a brilliant guy, and he talks about different solutions to the federal government. And I think that's, rather than an old geezer like me where I want to go down to the CompUSA and get one package and have it solve all my problems, it's no one package. It's different groups of packages that are going to change, because everything's going to change, because change is so built in, it's so inherent in the problem that you can't escape it. It's just impossible.
Yeah, I'll plug it. It's a little early, but Dan and I have built an integration between our two capabilities. So he's got Seamless Docs, which is this really neat software as a service package that does some really cool stuff around forms and the collection of information from citizenry for government. And then you have that interconnected to the power of our business process management, our records, and our content inside the enterprise. Creates a really powerful combination. We're watching a handful of customers call us up to see our two products working via open APIs.
The two Legos put together, and all of a sudden you can build on it. And
you put Dan and I in a room. We came up with this pretty quickly, and we were seeing a lot of customers' eyes open up. Like, this beautiful user interface that he's built in his SaaS product, integrated to the heavy horsepower and business process connection of a form coming in from Seamless Docs, triggering actions. So we got a new person joining an agency. They need a computer. They need an Active Directory account created. They need a phone number. They need a desk. That creates both system interaction and people actions that we'll coordinate. And all that came from them filling out a Seamless Docs form. It's a pretty cool integration.
I love when Dan says, government is beautiful.
Yes.
That's his catchphrase.
He said, what? You can't take it. I said, it's gorgeous. I mean, it
should be his hashtag. Government is beautiful. Dan Tangherlini.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting company based in New York. And they're south of Houston, Soho, and he calls it Soho Valley.
Coming from Alfresco, we are just outside the valley there San Francisco.
So it's a loose and flexible. And I think what people have to realize is that just because it's loose and flexible doesn't mean it isn't solid can't comply, because compliance is a big concept here.
It can't comply
with any of the rigorous cybersecurity specifications here. So it's loose. We're all having fun here, but we're in the swim lanes.
Really nice pivot to a topic that I think is critical to your listeners. The concept of enabling a business process and automating it and using a system like Alfresco is a leap forward in regards to cybersecurity. The idea that I have filled out a form with my social security number and emailed that to an executive assistant who then passed it to the gate person, and that my social security number, my whole team's social security number passed around that agency, is insanity to me. Because I have a technology that enables me to have filled that out in a web form, redacted and encrypted the communication in rest and in transit and in place when it gets there. And the idea that the handoffs are all controlled. Nobody can just search my information and find it. The Excel spreadsheet I sent in is probably sitting in somebody's shared drive, and it should be in an encrypted repository like Alfresco and then timed out. So it shouldn't be there. I mean, this is a beauty of Alfresco. We work on records management and can eliminate things based on time schedules. And my social security number should not be stored for very long there.
So, by the way, when I put stuff in the refrigerator, I don't know what the expiration date is. That's why I'm a slacker. Yeah. So it has an expiration date.
So I've got a tool for you.
Alfresco for my refrigerator. Yeah, it's modular. Yeah. It'll do anything.
I might be able to automate something for you there. But the concept of records management and governance in general. Yeah, I've said this before, but the least respected and most important community I meet with on a regular basis is the information governance and records management folks. They are unbelievably critical to the security and legal risk of our country and of the assets that our country has in digital and non-digital format. And they're super underfunded and do not have technology solutions that enable them to actually solve the mission that they're looking to solve. And any chance I get to speak out, I like to give a shout out to records managers because they really need modern applications like Alfresco and instituted into their agencies.
Is that NARA? Is that those folks?
NARA. National Archives and Records Administration. Yeah, they are creating and have created a mandate. The 2019 mandate is coming up, which says that all digital content needs to be stored and marked as records appropriately. That is a very difficult and challenging mandate because it's generally has been viewed as going to be extremely expensive to do, done at massive scale. If you can imagine, everything digital has to be stored and managed appropriately. How do you do that cost effectively, and how do you do it in an automated way? That's the secret sauce to what Alfresco is bringing to the table. We're going to go in, reach into every content store inside the enterprise, identify it as important or not important, apply it as a record, store it for the right amount of time, and then if it's a permanent record, we'll automate the transfer over it to National Archives and Records Administration. And up until now, that industry and records managers have been failed by technology. We think we're bringing open source, we're bringing cloud, we actually bring the first time in a long time that they're going to actually get real relief from technology in that space.
Just to reiterate, 2019 is the deadline for that, and that's 2 years away. That's around the corner.
You set me up perfectly. If they don't start working on the plans to get this done now, they won't make it.
You're in a heap of trouble. Let's take a break, talk more about people being in a heap of trouble. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Austin Adams, Vice President, Public Sector at Alfresco. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Austin Adams, Vice President, Public Sector at Alfresco, Alfresco. If you see him at any events, if you're at the Amazon show in the summer and you walk by and you see a little sign there, Alfresco, nothing to do with lunch, everything to do with open source software and making our listeners, federal IT professionals, more and more connected and using collaboration and using microservices and doing all kinds of odds and ends. I'm going to go back to your buddy John Newton, the guy who did this long video predicting what's going to happen in 2017. And he stumbled on something that really kind of hit a nerve for me. And he said, you know, a lot of boomers are retiring, and a lot of those 27-year-old developers are going to get stuck without having institutional knowledge. Mm-hmm. Now, I know for a fact there are 10,000 baby boomers that are retiring every single day, mm-hmm. many of them listening to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to move to Florida, move to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do, but I do know there's going to be institutional knowledge that's going to be a big gap there. Mm-hmm. And a 27-year-old may want to know, why did they do this 3 or 4 years ago? So this is the role of collaboration.
It is. And I will give you a personal anecdote here. It goes a little bit earlier in my career. I met with a gentleman, I'll leave his name out, who was responsible for managing the stockpile of a certain type of warhead. He did this in Excel. And we got asked by the knowledge management officer of that command to help said person automate what he did because he had alerted them that he was probably leaving soon. He was at retirement age already for some time, and he was kind of tired, and he had a lot of institutional knowledge. Turns out that Excel spreadsheet was just a front for the fact that all of the business process around, they actually recycled these things and they fire them off. They actually go get them back. They put them in to a refurbishment program. How long that takes, creating the new ones, who gets what, when they get sent. It's a logistics system. And they're like, how do we take what Bob knows and turn it into a system before we lose Bob? And that is a beautiful question, that the kind of questions that we look and need to answer more and more. Because there are Bobs in every agency, in every office in every agency. And the idea that you're going to hand off all that institutional knowledge in a training document is just not realistic. But at the same time, it's also not realistic to think that there is an off-the-shelf application that does warhead refurbishment and logistics and understands how Bob does what he does either.
Yeah.
And so there's this concept of COTS and the commercial off-the-shelf market leaving a gap. So they turn to custom code and going to application development to build what Bob does. But that's extremely expensive because Bob was doing it pretty cheaply. He was just using an Excel spreadsheet. So you're caught in this gap between not important enough to build a custom coded application, but yet needing way too much customization to meet within COTS. Alfresco shows up. Business process services, content services. We're talking about a document. We're talking about handoffs. We're talking about tracking things. We're talking about records. And again, just as one example of a place that Fresco fits.
I'm just thinking, if we work for an agency, so instead of my sending you a spreadsheet via email, what would happen is, let's say in my last 2 years, my transition years out, is that I would make a transition into using a collaborative tool where my information would go back and forth. And then when I'm in Florida smoking cigars, all of a sudden, well, 6 months ago, old Ralph here went bang, 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 bang. And now Rohan and Anjit and Sally, which probably wasn't going to be the names, can take and use this much more efficiently.
That's right.
Rather than, what are those emails?
That's right. And I'm not in the business of taking the process as it exists today and just simply automating it. There's an opportunity, much like we did for the Navy with their task tracking solution. They have these very arcane business practices about handing documents off command to command. We took a look at that, and our system integrator took a look at this that partnered with us and cut that business process down in half. We turned not only digitized it and created a digital flow for a manual process, we cut out half the steps. And we turned this thing around, cut out the need for classified spillage, and got it in the right hands of the right people when they needed it. And that concept of simple and humanizing a business process, taking a complex system and making it intuitive and pleasurable and simple, yet and flexible. And this is probably the next most important piece of this is, you build something once, so Bob did it one way, and the next person comes in and they want to change it. And that happens in the military every 2 to 3 years when they change over senior leadership, and it happens when you get a new presidential administration. They want to do things differently. How do you change the way you do things? If you're custom coding, you're redrafting. You're back at square one. You're going back into the custom code and you're redrafting. When you have a tool that enables adjustable business processes in a graphical user interface, and by that I mean a drop and drag environment, you can change the business process on the fly. You can model, what does it look like if I do it this way and it interacts with this system and triggers an action in another system that we have? What if I send it to this person instead? What if it goes to this group? Examples like that, you can agilely change things on the fly. It's, I think, an important and critical component to being able to help transition from manual to automated and from the retiring sort of workforce into the newer workforce.
I want to bounce back to the interview with John Newton and in Washington, D.C., so we're going to combine both coasts here. So John Newton, in his video interview, he talks about uncertainty, and he said, mm-hmm. look, when it comes to software development, uncertainty is the rule.
That's right.
And if you try to look at the federal government, this is going to have to apply to them. So what's going to happen here mm-hmm. in the next few years with this modular development? I mean, it's obvious that there may not be new people being hired by the federal government. There may be people listening who are going to be in the same job without any help for a long time. So mm-hmm. they don't have any choice. It's like, well, we're going to have to take and we can't do Excel. I love Excel spreadsheets, mm-hmm. but we have to move to something different because I got too much to juggle here.
Right.
I'm doing two jobs.
That's right. We talk about designing with a constant feedback loop. This concept that if you're going to – the concept of delivering something once, you know, the classic waterfall application development model where you're just turning over something based on a requirements document that came out when they wrote the RFP 2 years ago, and then you're just delivering that is a failed concept. And it's part of the acquisition problem that the government has systematically created systems that are outdated. But it also comes to the way that generational changes of developing and working with people. The use of strategic listening, understanding the core of the issue that somebody is facing when they talk to you about what their work challenges are, and then applying process automation to that is a really powerful and very uncommonly used tactic within the federal government. We're hoping to see much more of it.
So I know you go to several trade shows. Amazon usually has a big trade show in town here. Are you going to participate here this summer?
Absolutely.
That's another show?
Absolutely. Yeah, we will be there.
So if you're attending the show, it's free, and it's usually shoulder to shoulder. I mean, last year people couldn't eat because it was so jammed in there. You remember that one?
You
couldn't even turn around.
That's right.
There were people I couldn't see them because I couldn't move, and there's a reason for that. Because Amazon is making great inroads, and what they try to do is partner with innovative companies that can take business processes and look at them from a practical way and try to figure out a better way to do it. So where are you going to be? Where's your company going to be in Amazon Web Services in a few years? Can you even predict that? I mean, we know it's going to be uncertain. So where do you see from your perspective?
Yeah, we're excited about the partnership with Amazon for a number of reasons. One of them, we look at them as a company that's done 81% growth year over year, the fastest growing large IT company in the history of the world, and 10 times more compute than the rest of their competitors combined is just an astronomical lead that they have in the market. But it's the translation of that raw horsepower into enterprise capabilities that really attracts Alfresco to that partnership. It has a lot to do with our ability. The space we're in, as a nature of what we do, means that we're interacting with content at scales that are hard to wrap your head around. Billions of emails, billions of Word docs, video files, predator drone feeds, and the list goes on and on. Audio files, 3D AutoCAD diagrams of every federal building at GSA, down to the ability to go from a skyscraper picture to detail in on a rivet using stored inside Alfresco. You have to have a partner like AWS who's got the ability to offer up unbelievable amounts of horsepower quickly and agilely, and have somebody be able to use things like CloudFormation templates, which are a fancy word for we have a model for you to be able to click on and create Alfresco on the fly, on demand, and scale out very quickly on AWS, is a really powerful enabler. You can do Alfresco on-prem. We're a hybrid capability. If you are a federal customer going, hey, I'm not bought into cloud yet, and I've got to run this in my data center, you're certainly welcome to. But we've got people who are running us both in AWS and on-prem and having those things talk back and forth.
I like when people talk about AWS Aurora as a big thumb drive.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big thumb drive. That's a giant thumb drive. Huh?
Yeah, we took in 4.5 million documents an hour on a test that we did at scale. We pulled in a billion documents into AWS.
My. We're going to have to close out here with that ending. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Austin Adams, Vice President, Public Sector at Alfresco.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.